Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a beautiful day it is. It's a little overcast, but the view is absolutely spectacular because it is the 21st year that we've broadcast the Mid-Pac Open from the Mid-Pacific Country Club, where this event has been played since 1956. So we're together here. We'll have a lot of folks in the clubhouse getting together in the GM's, Jim Sweeter's office becomes the clubhouse every year. And the view, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. The beautiful Ko'olau Range and looking at the course, it's a gorgeous morning. But the forecast is kind of interesting. Isolated showers in the morning, scattered showers, a slight chance of some thunderstorms in the afternoon. Locally, heavy rainfall possible. We had some torrential downpours. This was in Pearl City, and it was very, very wet yesterday afternoon. And into the evening, it came down pretty hard here on the windward side. High today, about 88 degrees. The variable winds making it muggy, so to 15 miles per hour. It's going to be an interesting day if anything like, let's say, Thursday is any sign. Because if you remember, back a couple of years ago, the Hawaii teenager who won the USGA Amateur Four-Ball Championship qualifier, he won it by himself at Honolulu Country Club. His partner was called into surgery. A surgeon asked to go into surgery. Couldn't do anything. Couldn't play in a four-ball championship. He was called in. So the young man, his name is Brett Grant, he went on and won the qualifier by himself at the Honolulu Country Club. His partner, into surgery, the sub got to the course after the deadline passed. The substitutions couldn't come in. So he competed as a single, and he won. He was at Moandua High School, graduated there, went on to win. He shot a bogey-free 63 by himself to get the only qualifying spot. So at the time, he said, something just went right. The putts just started to fall, and I focused on what I was doing, and that was all. And there you have it. Now, Brent Grant is leading the Mid-Pac Open after carding a 61 in the first round and a 70 in the second. He's 13 under par after 2 days, and a 61 at Mid-Pac, very impressive. I spoke with Superintendent Jason Amoy, who, of course, set up the Sony Open in Hawaii before coming here to Mid-Pacific Country Club. We're going to talk to him later about what his thoughts are on Mr. Grant shooting a 61 on Mr. Amoy's golf course. So Brent Grant leads 13 under. P.J. Stamier is 6 under. Parker McLaughlin is 5 under. Jared Sawada, 4 under. Sam Sir, he's the defending champ. He's 2 under. Now, I'm talking all about the professionals right now. This tournament has a professional flight. It has a championship flight, and that's the amateurs who are playing. It has an A flight and a B flight, and in the championship flight, Tyler Ota is also 2 under, so technically tied for 5th with Sam Sir. And then we have a Matt Ma also shooting lights out, 1 under. That makes him tied with Alex Ching, who also is at the top of the leaderboard with Justin Kylie at even par. A former champion, Nick Mason, 3 over. TJ Asakikua, also a former champion, is 8 over. Very surprising to see those high numbers with those former champions. But again, the Mid-Pacific Country Club course is playing very different this year. It's been dry, a very dry year, and it's really running fast. And I mean, just the way the course is, I think it was just the way it was envisioned back in the 20s when it was put together, when Seth Rayner, who unfortunately died before he could finish the course, actually got it set up. So we hope to have Mike Kawaharada in here, the tournament chairman, Mid-Pac Open, to talk with him. It's called the Masters of the Pacific. It's been played here since 1956 when two tournaments, an amateur event and a professional event, were merged together to make this fabulous event possible. But first, we need to thank some of the people who make this show possible. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors. Increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Okay, the history, as I was saying, the history of the Mid-Pacific, the Mid-Pac Open at Mid-Pacific Country Club dates back to the 1950s, 1956. PGA of America, the Aloha section, continues their partnership with the Mid-Pacific Country Club as the title sponsor of the Mid-Pac Open, the Masters here in Hawaii. It's the last four-day championship tournament in Hawaii for professionals and amateurs. So the Compose Cup was put together with a professional event that was going on, plus an amateur event, and it became this 72-hole stroke play event consisting of four flights, the professional, the championship, that would be the amateur, the A flight and the B flight, plus a senior division with two flights, one for professionals and another for amateurs. And last year, Sam Sir won the tournament. He's expected, he's back, trying to defend his title. As I mentioned, he's two under par. But the leader, Brent Grant, is 13 under par. So everybody's got their work cut out. He's got a seven-stroke lead on the next closest person, who is a PJ Samier, who's 6 under. And then Parker McLaughlin, who's also won in the past, is 5 under. So this is a fabulous event. So we not only have those flights, but we have a senior division with two flights, one for the professional seniors and one for the amateur seniors. We bring people coming around from all parts of the United States of America and Asia. We've had many Japanese and Asian players coming in, coming from the mainland. The purse for this event is a very comfortable purse, and it's in part because of the fabulous people, the sponsors, who make this tournament possible every year, bringing in, a purse that's over $60,000. So in addition to the sponsors, without the Mid-Pacific Country Club membership and the volunteers who come together, one of my friends, Deb, is going to be ferrying in her golf cart things that people need on the course. So she'll be taking whatever is needed to people, whether it's someone who's manning one of the holes, who's checking it out to see where the ball lands, someone who's making sure there's water for the officials who are in the heat. And it's going to be a warm one because of the high humidity, the high temperatures, and the very light winds. So we're waiting right now for Michael Waharada, the tournament chairman, who's been doing this for about 10 years, putting together this tournament. One of the main functions, of course, of the chairman is bringing together the sponsors, and he has a very, very formidable list. We go all the way back to 1956 when Guinea Cup, he won, Ted Makalena repeated 57-58. And the list goes on. In the 60s, there was one year there was no tournament, but Lance Suzuki, who was a wonderful person, a dear man, and he passed away, makes me sad still. He won in 1977, 1978, in 1981, in 1983, in 1984, and in 1987, then in 92 and 93. And I'm not talking about the seniors. Okay, I'm talking about just overall an incredible, incredible person and an amazing golfer. Another amazingly incredible person and an amazing golfer is David Ishii, and he is playing again. He won in 1986 and in 1989, and he is playing, as a senior, he is tied for 12th. As on the professional, so he's right now at 5 over. It's a really tight leaderboard. I mean, when you've got 13 under for Brent Grant, PJ Samier at 6 under, Parker McLaughlin at 5 under, Jarrett Sawada at 4 under, Sam Sir 2-under, Alex Ching 2-under, and that's on the professional side. And then after that, everybody's over par. So this course is playing really tough, and I'm really looking forward to talking with the superintendent, Jason Amoy. The Turtleback Greens here at the Mid-Pacific Country Club are pretty amazing. So we're going to take our break, come back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I just listed my home.
I hear first impressions matter.
My realtor said what they see first when they pull up sets the tone for the whole visit. Can you guess what Realtor.com said is the highest return on investment you can make?
No.
Your garage door.
Yes, since people see that first, and it makes your home stand out, you can have a beautiful home now, then get all your money back when you sell. It'll probably sell faster. Rainer Doors of Hawaii, 676-3667.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futura Stone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futura Stone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
This portion of The Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futura Stone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And I feel very fortunate to have in the clubhouse the man who is leading this tournament, the Mid-Pac Open here, with an amazing 13 under par after shooting an amazing 61. Welcome into the clubhouse, Brent Grant. A real pleasure having you here.
It's good to be here, yeah.
You know what? I ran into Jason Amoy, who's the superintendent, right? Jason prides himself on keeping this course extremely difficult. And I said to him as he's in the golf cart, I said, so, Jason, what about that 61? And he kind of looked at me, and he's got this grin, like he's got a constant grin on his face, right?
Yep.
And he goes, you only finished 16 holes. So yeah. I was reading what you said when you won the USGA amateur four ball by yourself shooting a 63.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I just went and played. Is that what happened on Thursday?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, obviously, the course is in perfect shape. So, I mean, you know, the ball rolls, you know, exactly where you want it to go. And I got some help with a good couple of eagles there. And you know, the ball just happened to go in the hole.
Exactly. You know, that's part of the game. And that's one thing about the game that a lot of people get frustrated, no matter how much you practice. That ball will do what it wants to do on the ground, won't it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
exactly.
What about these greens? How are they running?
Oh, they're perfect. I'd say, I don't know what Jason had them at on Thursday, but they were a lot firmer and a lot faster yesterday. So, and that score that showed. So the scores were definitely higher. So, but they're the best I've ever seen them, for sure.
So after your 61, he went out there and worked all night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he did, yeah, which is why he has a constant grin on his face, because he knows exactly what's going to happen. So.
Well, the 70 you shot was still fabulous.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
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 Following up a 61 with a 70, a lot of people go higher. So what is your game plan?
You know, I like I said on Thursday after the round, it's just all target. You know, the wind can change. You know, the weather can change out here real fast. You know, good players coming up behind me, and all I can do is play my game, and the chips will fall where they fall.
Wow. And we have right now just some overcast skies, a little sunny, very, very light wind, maybe 15 max, and I don't even see that happening. So target all the way. What do you do to prepare?
Like before the round?
Yeah.
Right after this, I'll go grab some food and get started there. Obviously, it's still early. And then I'll, you know, warm up, stretch, you know, get things moving with the body, and then putt for a little while, hit some balls, and then we're ready to go.
You sound so relaxed.
How can you not be?
How can you not be with the lead?
Well, just being here on Oahu with you know, beautiful weather around good people, and this is home for me.
This is home. You went to Moalua High School.
I did, yep.
And what is it about Moalua High School that brings up such great golfers?
You know, I don't know. The area around there, I guess, is semi-central. So, you know, we get you know, people from all over the island that want to come just because of the academics. And then, you know, we just so happen to have a few great golfers over the years.
When did you start playing?
I started playing about 13, 14 years old.
So you weren't a 7-year-old,
oh, no.
2-year-old?
No. I grew up playing baseball.
Interesting. I'm glad to hear that because it's so important for juniors for young people to have a diversified kind of athletic experience
exactly.
in life.
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
And what got you to golf?
Well, my dad has been playing for a very long time. His uncle is a PGA professional, so that's how he got into the game. And then I couldn't play baseball anymore. And one day my dad was tired of me sitting around the house and said, get out, and, you know, so that's how it works. And I got the bug, and here we are.
And here we are. Awesome. And so dad's in Japan?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's great. Is he following on? Have you been talking to him?
Yeah, I have, actually. Yeah, he actually sent me a message early this morning. Obviously, they're a few hours ahead, but behind a day later. So he sent me a message this morning and said that Kailua got a lot of rain. So I was prepared already, and, you know, I can't thank him enough.
He's scouting for you already.
Exactly. Yeah, it's awesome. As if he's here with me. So it's great. Yeah.
This is wonderful. This is Brent Grant, and he is leading. He's 13 under, and he's a marvelous young man, and I'm so excited that you came up here. Really,
well,
kudos. Thank
you. It's always good talking to you, Daniel.
Thank you very, very much.
Yep.
And I got to let you go because I know that you got to get him in and out so that you can get on your on your schedule.
I appreciate it. Thank you
Absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And may you hit the sweet spot every time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Aloha. We're going to come back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin. Wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, that was fabulous. Wonderful talking with Brent Grant. And we've got a wonderful leaderboard. And if you get a chance to come out here, the volunteers at the Mid-Pacific Country Club are just everywhere taking care of everyone. And, of course, you are welcome. The course is, there's parking. You can come up and you can easily follow the professionals. They'd love to have a little bit, at least I think so. Maybe I better clear all of this with the tournament chair. Mike Kawaharada is here. Mid-Pack open for what? Mike, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you.
And has it been 10 years that you've been chair?
19.
19 years?
Yes. It's a lifetime ago.
So I've been doing the show here for 21 years, and you've been the tournament chair for 19 years, and certainly you've been a part of all of this for...
Longer than that.
Yes. Any more than... We don't want to talk about any more years. Pretty soon I'm not going to say how long I've been doing this show. The sponsors that you bring together, that's key for you over the year, to keep your sponsors. And I am truly impressed with the number... Bowman Connectivity Solutions. I mean, the list is amazing. The people who make this possible, talk about them.
Yes, that's correct, Danielle. Without the sponsors of our Pro-Am tournament that we hold on Wednesday before the real tournament, really the backbone of the tournament, because they provide us enough money so that we can run the championship tournament here.
They make it possible to provide the purse. What's the purse now?
It's about $70,000 plus for all of the players. Yes.
Wow. It's gone up tremendously.
Over the years it has. We've been kind of at a plateau recently, so we are at about $15,000, I think, this year for first place.
For first place.
Yes.
That's why this event attracts such a marvelous field.
I think that's part of it. We do have players coming from the mainland. A lot of local kids that are on the mainland come back, like Brent Grant and even Damon Tellis, who won second place last year. Sam Sears from Makawao, Maui. And
he's in California now, but he came back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have guys from all over coming back, some out-of-state players also.
Yeah. I'm looking at Sam Sears right now. He's 2-under, but then you have to think about, you know, we're looking at the professional flight, but then there's the championship flight, and Tyler Oda is 2-under, too.
Yes.
So an amateur can be at the top of that leaderboard just as easily.
Yes, we've had amateurs winning the tournament in the past.
Uh-huh.
The last 61 years that we've run this tournament, I think we probably have 5 or 6 low amateurs that have won the Open tournament, yes.
Wow. So the first professional wins the first place prize.
Yes, the amateur only gets the minimum or maximum $750. So the second place person may win $15,000.
So that's probably why these kids are all turning pro. If they feel their game's on, they don't want to lose out.
Well, I think it's more than that, but yeah, maybe that's one of the reasons.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. When you're hot, you're hot, and you want to keep. So thank you to Advantage Insurance Service and Resort Management, Brown & Brown Pacific Insurance Consulting, Diotani Produce, Kilia Management, Aloha Marine Lines, Bright Light Digital, and all of you great people. I'll get to others coming up, and the donors of Anheuser-Busch and Bronco Wine Company and Dr. Melvin and Pepper Wong, all the great people who make this tournament possible.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think we try to put on a good show for the Pro-Am. I think people like the tournament.
What do you do during the Pro-Am?
Well, we play golf.
Yeah, I know, but it's a show. What's in the swag bag?
Well, this year we gave out putters, Scotty Cameron putters. Last year we gave out golf bags, et cetera, et cetera.
Scotty Cameron putters?
Yes.
Wow.
And everybody gets one.
Everybody gets one.
Yes.
Even if you don't play well?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my goodness. I have to I have to sign up to be in the Pro-Am.
Sure. You just have to pay your money.
But, I know.
But what we try to do is put on a good tournament that allows business people and other people to invite guests that maybe clients or mostly clients.
Yeah.
And the clients have a great time. They play on the same course that the pros are playing today.
Yeah. That could be dangerous.
It's a lot of fun. We try to move it along. It's an automatic two-putt, automatic par. We try to do a stressless tournament for these clients.
Yes, don't worry. You don't actually have to get it in the hole in par. We have somebody who's actually playing with in this tournament right now, and Vincent Yim is here with us, and he's sitting at the table, and he's playing. Vincent, how's this course playing for you?
Well, I thought the first day was pretty good.
You did?
Yeah, and I played quite well, and tied for third.
Wow.
And then I guess when Brent shot the 61, and Jason has a way of doing things, yesterday was awfully tough. Yeah. And when you're on the wrong side of the pin, you accept the fact that it's going to be a tough par, or, okay, don't do anything silly, or not you'll be walking off with a buzzard, which is two over par.
Uh-huh.
So, and I had quite a bit of buzzards.
Quite a few buzzards.
Yeah.
So you went down from three.
I'm in 11th right now.
Well, that's not terrible. I mean, you know,
you've got two
more rounds to go.
Sure.
We've got today. And how long have you been playing this tournament?
Well, I've been with Mike as his vice chairman for 18 years.
So you know the ins of this event completely.
Well, we have an excellent staff with all our coordinators. So because for both of us, we have to be here every day from sunup to sundown. And most of the time when you have efficient staff, you try to do your best to stay out of their way. So for me, I'm antsy pants here, and I can't sit there just watching the sun go by and have everyone having fun on the course. So I've been playing this tournament for probably over 15 years.
That's wonderful. You know the course. And I'm absolutely certain that it's exactly what you said, that Jason got very upset that there was a 61, and he went out and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and did whatever he could to make it as difficult as possible. Pin placements are everything, right?
Correct.
Yes, right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we have the Aloha Section CEO and Executive Director standing by, Wesley Wailahua, who is, of course, one of the big reasons why all of this is happening today. Vincent, are you going to go off and eat something? I mean, we just heard Brent say that he's going to go eat. He's going to do a little putting. What is your pre-tournament routine?
Right now, my duties is to oversee the actual operations of it. Not the tournament, but I have officially 122 volunteers.
Wow.
Most of them are the mid-pack members.
Yeah.
To fill in for about 154 slots, from registration to score keeping to spotting.
Yeah,
and we have quite a bit of them doing double duties. So I got to make sure they're off and running, and then I would think about an hour before I get to go out on the driving range, and then do some putting, and then I'll have two bananas and a coffee and a donut, and I'm ready to go.
I love the donut. Yes, two bananas, that'll get that potassium in you. A coffee, a little bit, yes, that will get you going. And the donut will really wire you up.
Yes.
What do you have on the nine? You must have something going on at the on the turn. Do you eat on the turn?
On the turn.
Because Tiger always has to keep eating.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. I'll have a trail mix or almonds.
Oh, you do eat something healthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
after the donut.
By that time, you have to calm down over there and start taking this game serious here.
Well, I commend you. One of my very good friends is one of your volunteers, and Deb is going to be, she said, in the cart delivering necessary needed items to whomever they need on the golf course. So I thank all of the volunteers and the Mid-Pacific Country Club members who give their course for this event and who make it possible by volunteering to make it happen. Thank you, Vincent.
Thank you.
Aloha. We're going to come back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What's the first thing you see when you get home?
My cat?
No, your garage door. And I love my Rainer door. It improved the look of my house, and it's strong and quiet.
Wow, how can I get a Rainer door?
Call 676-DOOR, and your home can look great and be worth more money. That's 676-3667, Rainer Doors, Hawaii.
Nothing short of amazing.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Rainer Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Rainer Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back into the clubhouse. Just going to the sponsors and listening to the thing that, Vincent Yim said about donuts. Donuts, that would be Pepper. Pepper Wong is the donut lady. And so she does a lot of other things. But, yes, Dr. Melvin and Pepper Wong. I didn't realize when I mentioned you, Pepper, that I was talking about donuts. And so I am going to have to go find those donuts at some point. So we've got, Mike Kawaharada, who is the 19 years now tournament chairman of the Mid-Pac Open, the Masters of the Pacific, played since 1956. And we have Wes Waidahua, who is here, Aloha Section Executive Director and CEO. Wes.
Danielle, aloha. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, this was, we have amateurs, we have professionals, we have seniors, we have two flights of seniors, we have the A and B flight, we have the championship flight, the professional flight. This is really a tradition that started when two tournaments were merged into one.
Yep, absolutely, and now what you see today are actually four flights, dynamic flights of some of Hawaii's top players from around the state, and a lot of players that are actually traveling from the U.S. mainland. And about seven or eight players that are traveling overseas from Japan, professionals and amateurs. And one of the greatest events, I think, in the state of Hawaii, the only 72-hole tournament left in Hawaii, everybody wants to be a part of the legacy and the history of this event. And from this event, you've got Hall of Fame winners, major guys that have gone to play on tour. You know, the members of this club and what Mike has done to raise this money gives them an opportunity for some of the professionals to move on and play in the mainland. So
exactly.
It's a huge stepping stone for many of the players.
And they get a lot of experience because what Jason Amoy does to this golf course after his experiences, Mamala Bay, then Wailea Country Club for the Sony, working under the PGA Tour, knowing that, and his own personal talents
absolutely
come into play.
I think it's part of that, and the other part of that, too, is the thought process of setting up a tournament like this, a championship event, is more than just Jason's history of understanding the growth spurts and challenges of managing an asset this large of 130-something acres. I think what it goes into is it's really a passion and commitment from Mike and Jason to produce a championship course with tour-like conditions for players in Hawaii to really experience, and that really is what the draw is for the tournament.
Are you talking about pin placement? What are we talking about?
I'm talking about the overall design of the course. When you look at this type of Seth Rainer design course, the same way that you look at Sony and Wailea, I mean, there's a certain way that as a tournament committee, we manage the course to have the best experience of players. That includes hole locations, tee boxes, the flow of the course. Sometimes Mother Nature beats us and changes the weather, whether it's rain or wind or none of it at all. And that makes it a little bit more challenging, where some positions turn out to be some of the worst ones when we think they're actually pretty fair and good. So there's a method to a lot of the structure management of an event like this, and it's not just haphazardly put together by throwing darts on the green or picking whatever color tee box Jason decides to choose.
Yes.
There's certainly a passion behind setting up an event of this size.
Wow. Well, you know, I was just thinking that, let's say 10 years go by and somebody says, you know, we should put the pin there, and all of a sudden the light goes on and goes, no, that's a really bad place from past experience.
Absolutely, but, you know, there's also some other things that go into that. When you pick a pin position, we're also looking at where they're approaching, where the tee is. And, of course, the condition of the approach and where the ball is going to be landing. So there's a lot more in that, not to mention the weather that we're predicting the next couple of days. So there are periods and times where Jason and I do have a discussion the night before, and we go out there and take a look at the green, whether or not that really is where we want to do it, or we need to move a location that better fits the field and the pace.
There is a story behind all of this, Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
When Jason left Wailea and came to Mid-Pacific Country Club as the course superintendent, as you know, Bob Tokugawa was a superintendent before that.
For a long time.
For a long, long time. And he was the one that actually started putting the course into championship conditions. The earlier tournament chairman used to tell Bob where they thought the pin should be and how fast the green should be.
Oh!
I promised Jason when he got here that the tournament would not tell him how to do that, and that would be totally up to him, and I think it's worked very well ever since then.
Yes, it's better for the professionals to do what they do.
Yes.
And the fortunate thing with all the technology now is that we actually track, and the computer systems that we use manage the holes and rank the holes so that we can determine how fast they're playing and obviously what pin positions worked and what didn't work based on the conditions for that year.
So, yes.
And Jason tracks all of that and does a very good job. And, of course, he has his traditional pins that he'll throw out there, like the front left on 8 yesterday, you know, the back left that'll be on 11 tomorrow. And he likes to keep to some of those traditions, which I think is great because that's a huge part of this game, is the traditions of the game itself.
And how it plays in different conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So what do you think he did after the 61 on Thursday?
We had a 10-minute laugh. And then we talked about ways that we could make it equitable, I guess is the right word, for everybody. But, at the end of the day, for any tournament, and Jason agrees, and we talked about it, the best players will always play well under any conditions. David Ishii, great example. You know, I mean,
Lance Suzuki,
you know, Dean and Parker when they play. So those that have the experience and understand how to compete and play and understand course management, I think that's a huge part of understanding the game. I think it's just as simple as Tiger hitting his shot on 12 on Sunday at the Masters to go right over the bunker and aim for center when everybody went for pin.
Yes.
So it really comes down to the player's experience and course management, and those players will always perform well.
Yes, that was really something.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tiger, Masters, drive chip putt the Sunday before it all starts.
Absolutely.
We had a representative, Aloha Section PGA, doing the drive chip putt qualifiers. They're coming up, right?
Qualifiers are open for registration, but yes, this is the second year we've had a girl from Hawaii advance to the national finals at Augusta. Mia Cepeda won at the Torrey Pines event last September, got the invitation, and her family went up to Augusta to be there for the week. They had a great time, participated in all the events. She's the second one to go from Hawaii. Kate Nakoko was the first one to make it last year, and she had a great time as well. And it's really a great experience for all the players from around the world to be there for drive, chip, and putt. So it's definitely something you don't want to miss out. We have a qualifier in every island. Kauai, Oahu, Maui, and the Big Island will all have qualifiers this year, and a sub-regional here in Hawaii in July.
Yeah. So the Drive Chip Putt, you just have to go online. It's really simple.
Drivechipandputt.com. Click register, and you'll see all of our events here in Hawaii.
And you're right there. And this is they're on the Big Island, Maui, Oahu, and Kauai.
Yep.
So we have one on
every island.
Every island. And then after that, you have a sectional, right?
A sub-regional that'll be here on Oahu. That'll bring all the neighbor island qualifiers together. And then from there, they'll advance on to California for a regional qualifier.
Fabulous, fabulous. Absolutely. Something else, the PGA of America Aloha section has, a lot of people went, oh, right, team sport. How are we going to do this PGA thing? They want to put teams of kids together and have them play golf. Turns out that's working really well, huh?
Yeah, we've had some huge success with PGA Junior League. Just over 60,000 kids nationwide this year from the initial year of 30,000 kids, so double in about 3 years.
Wow.
We've got three different leagues, Oahu Leagues 4 and then one on the Maui.
Uh-huh.
And all these kids compete actually for a section championship that we'll hold in July as well, right after the Drive Chip and Putt sub-regional. So while all the kids are here for the regional qualifier for DCP, we'll have our section championship the very next day for PGA Junior League. And the feedback from the parents and the courses that are doing it, the incremental revenue from the food and beverage spend to to the merchandise spend to just the more time that families will spend at the courses. Has been great for a lot of the PGA professionals. Mid-Pacific Country Club has had a team from the beginning, and Mark and his staff has done a great job on growing their own program.
Yeah, Mark Sousa is here. He's the head professional at Mid-Pacific Country Club.
Teaches. Aloha, Daniel.
Aloha. A lot of people just love you and what you do to help them get their game on.
I do my best.
You do. And how many kids do you have?
Right now, in the PGA Junior League, we want to get up to 8 right now, and we're at 6, so we're trying to draw the kids from the club from ages 7 and 13. So our first gathering is in June, so I shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, you got time to get 2
right,
more kids.
Right.
So is this just members only, or is it from the neighborhood?
It's a members' kids for our club. But if we don't fill up the 8, then we have the friends of members that will be joining the PGA Junior League.
Okay, so right now, members, you get first dibs to get in.
Correct.
On this, and it's so much fun. They all have uniforms.
Correct.
They all play together. It's when I was talking to a physician about children who are having a hard time socializing, said golf is the best thing for kids who have a hard time socializing because they don't have any pressure to perform as a group because it's an individual sport. But with so they can learn and they can just beat up themselves if necessary. That's their tendency. But then the coach teaches them not to do that. It's gentle.
Yeah, basically what we do out there is a scramble. So as we pair the kids up, we put them into 4 groups, A, B, C, and D, and then we challenge Wailea Oahu and Honolulu Country Club. So, and again, there are 4 categories from ages 7 to 13, and they go out and play a scramble. It's a lot of fun. And then after that, we have a lunch and drinks at the turn, and it's a 4 o'clock shotgun. So about 6 o'clock, we're done, and it's good fun.
Yeah, it's good fun. And as I was saying, the children, as individuals, they're learning the sport, learning, and then as they're standing next to other kids, they slowly get to know each other.
Correct.
And then they build a camaraderie, and that's why it's so good for children who aren't necessarily team-driven, but this makes them have an opportunity to develop that sense of team and go on. And that's why golf can be so powerful in young people's lives, because it provides them a safe place to learn to be athletic, to do things that are fun with other kids, and then to see themselves become productive. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Nice to see that's happening here at Mid-Pacific Country Club. What are you doing for the Mid-Pac Open?
For the Mid-Pac Open, I'm kind of helping on the driving range, making sure that when the people hit their drives, the second tee is clear, because we've got a lot of golfers out there that are hitting the ball so far that we try to make it a safe environment when they're hitting their driver out there.
So what they made number 3, 500 and something. How long was 3 yesterday or the day before?
3 was actually not that long.
Okay.
As it will be tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow they'll stretch everything out probably to the max.
Okay.
As normal. But, you know, I think one of the best things about playing the Mid-Pac Open is probably experiencing the real teeth of the course and trying to make your way around. And the hardest part, I think, about any tournament, especially being a past tournament player, is actually finishing and completing. You know, it really tests your nerves out there. When you hit two in the water, or you just pumped one more ball out of bounds just to get digging the bag to find one more ball just so you can get to the end. And I'm not saying that happens to everybody, but, you know, the thought is always there. And I think for any tournament player...
Can I just leave now?
Yeah. I think I'll enjoy my Sunday someplace else. But, you know, I think to spend yes. I hear comments yesterday from some of the players that unfortunately didn't make the cut.
Mm.
And some of them every year want to make the cut because they want to experience Sunday's setup.
Oh,
and I think for a player
gosh.
To tell us that, I think that really speaks highly about the course, the club, and the tournament committee.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right in there wanting to be a part of it and knowing what it's what it's really like to challenge yourself on the highest level.
Absolutely. I mean, we hear that more often than the guys saying, I've had enough of it.
I'm done.
You know? the guys that have made the cut always come up Saturday morning and thank Mike for making the cut. But it's funny. There's these little rituals that happen, of course, every year, and I think that right there is what really makes the Pacific Open so special.
Before we go to a break, and it is this very, very special tournament, yeah. So how do you decide the cut, Mike?
Flip a coin.
No, 50% plus ties. Basically, we need to limit the field on Saturday and Sunday so we can finish.
Yeah.
And depending on how many players we have, right now it's 50% plus ties.
Approximately.
You start with over 200 is the max?
200 has been our comfort level right now. Originally, when I first started in 2004 with Mike, we were at 230, 224.
Wow.
And as the course conditions have changed and of course, the ability of the field has changed, we've had to adapt to pace and playability.
Ability of the field, correct. Meaning the length that they're hitting the ball?
With technology and everything. I mean, to be honest with you, 20 years ago, and I even joked with David Ishii about it, when David won the Sony, he was using a Persimmon driver. So, and that's not too long ago. So, you know, as things change, the industry changes and the game changes, so do our championship events.
Who would have thunk that the Big Bertha would be used in championship men's golf? We're going to come back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but You don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
Yes, Danielle spoke when she wasn't supposed to. Don't we do? Yes, and I just want to thank the people who are our sponsors because, of course, Futura Stone, Rainer Doors, Oahu Extraction, Aloha Power Equipment, Creative Plumbing, Detail Boulevard. Let me just tell you about Detail Boulevard. You know when you want to have your car cleaned and you just, I don't have time. I can't leave my car. I can't wait for my car. I can't stand my car. Well, if you get to that point where you can't stand your car, just go to Detail Boulevard. They're on Baritania. They're on the Mackay side of Baritania, so stay to your left as you're driving down Baritania. When you get to Keamoku, just two doors down. So look for the sign. It says Detail Boulevard, and then turn in right there. So you got to be one of those slow pokes on Baritania on the left side looking for what you're looking for. You're looking for Detail Boulevard because, you know what, they have loaner cars. So you can leave your car, get it buffed out, get a car, go do what you got to do, go back and get your car, and then you love your car again. I was feeling kind of like I hated my car just the other day because for some reason it would drizzle on it and get all this dirt and then drizzle on it and get all this more dirt. It's kind of nice when it was raining and kind of rinsing it off at night and it wasn't so dirty. I'm not getting the rinses overnight. So Detail Boulevard, just want you to know about that. This is the Mid-Pac Open, the Masters in Hawaii. We are at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. Absolutely beautiful vista. I mean, if you've got to be sitting somewhere doing your work, Jim Sweeter's got it made. And they've switched everything back around. I mean, this is what I call the Hello Kita setup. When Hello Kita was the GM, he had his desk over here. And then when... his name just flew out of my mind.
Tim Dietrich.
Yes, when Tim Dietrich came in as GM.
We have the commander-in-chief set up. Everybody's unique.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so I walked in and went, it's the Hello Kita room. Because, hi, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Great.
This is amazing how the membership of the Mid-Pacific Country Club comes together and makes this tournament with the volunteers. They're just in it.
It's amazing to see what the members do and how they rally behind this every year, and with Wes and Mike do and Vince, and it's just, I got to commend the community of the club and how they support this, and it's just a reflection of I think the culture and the atmosphere of this club. It's very much aloha. It's very much family oriented and really doing what's right out there. So it's a fun club to be a part of.
Yeah, it is. And you've got all kinds of different membership levels, which I don't think people realize. We talk about the golf here, but it's the entertainment of the country club that is so attractive.
Absolutely. And it's a trend that's happening obviously the golf and the golf course is the main draw, the main asset of the club, but from a social standpoint, from just other amenities outside of golf, because there might be one family member that the main thing they became a member for is the golf course, but then if the spouse and the kids don't golf yet or they have other interests, then you've got to really add amenities and programs that will keep them and attract them to remain members. And, we had a lot of rain in the fall, and our golf rounds were down because of the weather, but you heard a lot of the members that didn't get out and have a chance to golf, they were still using the club and had value in the club because of the fitness classes that we do and the exercise room and the social events and the dining. So it really adds to the value of the memberships, because if you don't get a chance to golf, a month at a time, you still have other things that attract you to the club and retain that value.
Yeah, you completely redid the fitness room.
Yeah, they did that a little before I got here, and then we've continued to add group exercise classes, and we're going to do some things next year to kind of enhance and add to the fitness center with new equipment and some things. And we're also planning a big long-term, probably over the next couple of years, clubhouse renovation, starting with the lounge bar area and the Wailea Grill, and then moving into the ballroom area and the entrance. So it's exciting for the members to see some new improvements coming that have been long overdue.
Freshening up the place.
Exactly.
You started on the pool.
Yeah, right when I got here, this is my third Mid-Pac Open, so I've been going on 3 years being at the club. We added the pool bar area, which has been a huge hit. We've got an outdoor TV down there, so during football season, you've got members down there, you know, standing at the bar, jumping in and out of the pool, watching the football games. It's you know, a lot of them congregate there throughout the weekend, and then in the summer as well, it's very busy. So it's been a home run for us. We also just renovated the snack bar at the turn, trying to brand that and make it a fun hangout. So our former board president, you know, it's referred to the turn, but we kind of tagged it as the Hooli snack bar.
The Hooli.
And put some reclaimed wood up there and kind of made it a beachy look. And Lainey, who's our club communications director, she came up with a cool logo. And so it's neat to see this week. It's kind of just inaugurated the opening of that, and people hanging out there, new furniture, new countertop area. So it's they can sit and overlook the ninth green, the 10th tee. So it's been fun to see the
I like that. I like that. See, if you're going to do nine, then you've got a destination.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm playing to the Hooli.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Then you can hang out there and walk
Absolutely.
Back. Sounds like a lot of fun. So the different tiers, if you become a member, you can become a member with golf, or you can be a social member. Tell us the different ways.
Yeah, primarily social and golf. You know, we've got some other non-resident categories, but for the most part, it's golf and social, and you know, Mark's done a great job even doing Get Golf Ready. We're getting a lot of social members that are interested in golf, so Mark's been doing some great programs to kind of get them involved and learn about the sport, from as simple as how to drive a golf cart.
God, get the kids involved.
Exactly. You get kids hooked, and the parents are in for a long time.
You teach children how to drive a golf cart. That's it. That's all they want to do. I want to play golf because I get to drive the golf cart. No, I'm serious. So I have a friend of mine who is all about country clubs. In fact, she is Diana DeLucia, the founder of Golf Kitchen, which is a coffee table book, and it's a magazine, and it is events that she's been holding. Now, the second annual Golf Kitchen Punta Mita is happening right now. Exclusive gated community, of course, two Jack Nicklaus design golf courses, gorgeous location, history, the culture, and the fishing and the migrating wildlife. Kind of sounds like Hawaii, doesn't it? It's just a different group of people. That's the history, the wildlife, probably unspoiled fishing. And Diana is on with us now, and I really needed to talk to her because today is Diana DeLucia. Are you there?
I certainly am. I'm on the 18th green at the Pacifico course at Punta Mita.
You're on the 18th green?
Yes, we're waiting for about, we have a bunch of groups that have about three or four holes left.
And this is in the Golf Kitchen Cup, a two-day tournament that's played. Do you play it on the Bahia and on the Pacifico, both courses?
Yesterday was Bahia, and today is Pacifico, and we have an amazing brunch prepared and a ceremony celebrating our winners. We're hoping that everyone has a great time. It's absolutely spectacular here, Danielle. You have no idea.
This is Golf Kitchen, the Golf Kitchen Cup. And it's all part of Golf Kitchen Punta Mita. So much like the membership here at Mid-Pacific Country Club, if you went to Golf Kitchen Punta Mita next year, you could either stay, play, and eat. You could play and eat, or you could just eat. So there's three levels of going to this event, depending on what. And then we need to talk about the Golf Kitchen Cup, the Chef's Challenge.
Now, it was amazing, and we have a new winner. And last year, these two chefs were both working for Kiawah Island Club and at Cacique, Executive Chef Doug Blair and Executive Chef Jose Carley. And be happy to announce that Doug lost his... He lost the... How do I say it? He lost the tournament. He had to have a chip-off to be in the final two against another chef, Marcel Payet. Pereira, and Marcel got in, I think, and then Jose won.
Bottom line is Jose Carle won. Now, let me give you a little bit of history, and, of course, Diana knows this better than I, but Jose Carle was working at Ro Isabella when he was on my show, The Golf Club. And he was talking about, you know, fishing. I was so enraptured with this man and being a chef. He would go out that day and fish. And then he whatever he caught would be what was going to be made for the guests at Royal Isabella, right? And he would go to his garden right out the door, and whatever God gave him, he said to me on the air, that would be part of the meal that he was going to prepare. So whatever was ready in the garden, whatever he caught from the ocean that day, that became the meal. So then Royal Isabella was destroyed, and Jose Carle had nothing except a wife and two children with many needs. And Doug Blair, is it Doug Blair who rescued him?
Yes. Yes, yeah, Jose, we finally found Jose after about 2 weeks, and I was at Glen Arbor, and Jose had called me, and he needed a job because his whole family, who are amazing people, needed to work and take care of the family, and, you know, they haven't had the easiest road, and I sent an email out to all the Golf Kitchen chefs, and Doug Blair responded in about, like, 30 seconds and said, I'm taking him. And then the rest is history, and they had Jose and his amazing family flown over, and he stayed with Kiowa for a year, and now Jose is here, obviously. He's in the competing today as well with Doug, and now Jose has his own restaurant in Puerto Rico. It is called Downtown Bocaron by Jose Carle.
It's wonderful. So this is a story of a disaster striking, people rescuing, and then reestablishing yourself back in your hometown, in your home country, as you try to rebuild your life where you love and where you live. And that's the story of Jose Carle, which I thought was so funny when I saw that he unseated. It's called unseating. And you are proud to say that Jose Carle won and unseated the defending champion, his good buddy Doug Blair. And so that's a beautiful story. Sabonic Golf Club, Glen Arbor, Cacique at Kiowa, Sankaty Head, Edgewood, Bosque Real Club in Mexico City, the Garzon Club from Uruguay, they're all at Golf Kitchen Punta Mita. And we've got the beautiful Golf Kitchen magazine coming out. The Golf Kitchen Excellence Awards ceremony will be at Glen Arbor this year. It's absolutely a beautiful time. Golf Kitchen America's Diana DeLucian's follow-up coffee table book is coming out. Her next issue of Golf Kitchen magazine as well. Stand by, Diana. Just a real quick. KPOA Hilo, KORLYNI, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. So, Diana, who's on the cover of the next magazine? Is it something you can say?
No, that's secret right now.
I
do want to say something.
Yes.
If you don't mind, I want to thank you, Danielle, for being such a good support to the Golf Kitchen brand and Golf Kitchen Punta Mita. And I'd also like to say a special thank you to John McIntyre, the golf director at Punta Mita. He has been amazing for this tournament. And Carl Emberson, the CEO at Punta Mita and the Dina Group. And a special thank you to all the chefs that are here and all the chefs that are competing, members and guests, and Stephanie and Veronica and Jorge, who have been amazing, and all the staff at the Four Seasons and St. Regis and Punta Mita. It's an absolutely amazing operation.
That's wonderful. And to bring everybody together, it's fabulous to see all these guys together. I think we need to have a food festival at Mid-Pacific Country Club. That would be so much fun. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be great.
Wouldn't it? Have a food festival. Bring chefs from around the state to have a food festival right here in Lanikai at Mid-Pacific Country Club. Diana DeLucia, Golf Kitchen founder, and thank you so much for joining us while you're waiting on the 18th for the final groups to come in. We need to take a quick break, and we've got none other than Parker McLaughlin coming in. He is right now on the top almost of the leaderboard at 5-under in the mid-pack open. Thank you, Diana.
Aloha.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii, 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back into the clubhouse. We're talking with Parker McLaughlin, and Parker McLaughlin is a professional on the PGA Tour, and he is right now in third place, 5-under par on this very difficult golf course. When I say that, of course, there's some young whippersnapper, Brent Grant, who's 13-under par. So he shot a 61 and a 70. Parker had the 72-67. Came back. Now, that's interesting that you played the 67, because the night after Brent Grant shot a 61, Jason Amoy was out there doing whatever he could to make it really, really hard.
Yeah, we don't need to make Jason mad. That golf course is, you know, I'm sure he's close to losing the greens. They are borderline. And it's just, it's a challenge, you know, and I think I hope he watered them last night. There was a few that were really, really brown. But it's one of the best tests we've had. I mean, he finally got the weather he needed coming into the week, and you know he's the best in the business at preparing a golf course for championship style play. And I didn't see 61 out there with the greens as fast as they were on Thursday. Yesterday, I think I was maybe a bit more used to the speed of the greens, and so I was leaving myself uphill putts and the downhill putts I did have, I was able to make a couple of them. So at the end of the day, you know, this golf course is the main test. I mean, I know Brent's up there at 13 under, but if you can figure out a way to
master the golf course, you'll climb your way up the leaderboard. I can't really pay attention to what
nobody
what
else
doing.
Is doing. It's all about what you're doing.
That's yeah, because this golf course will jump up and bite you real quick, you know. And you know, like number 8 yesterday, going through not a bogey on the card, and got a 7-iron in my hand on 8, and I leave it a little short right, and all of a sudden I got a 6-footer for bogey, and just like that, you know, and I've got a 30-foot chip, and I'm trying to make a 6-footer for bogey. So this golf course will jump up and bite you if you don't pay attention, which is the fun thing, because no lead is safe, right? I mean, it's you can make a double bogey at any point.
Every time we thought somebody had it in the bag on a Saturday morning, or Sunday rather, then all of a sudden, what happened to? And how come he's, you know? And it is just that way. I wanted to ask you about the par fours. This course has a lot of par fours. Does that rein you in? Does that, you know, like with the par five, you can really go for it. How do you play the par fours, so many of them?
Well, I think some of them, like 1, 2, 10, are all potentially drivable for the long hitters. So you need to figure out where the pin's located, because on one, on day one, if you drove it into the, you know, just short of the green on the left, you had no chance to get it close to the hole. Whereas if you laid up short, you could wedge it close, or if you hit it out to the right, you could chip it close. And then the same thing would go for one on the second round. The pin was back right, so if you missed it anywhere to the right, you had a really difficult up and in. Whereas if you hit it anywhere left, you could get it up and down no problem. So taking on the risk of, am I going to hit driver on this drivable par four, or am I going to lay back? You know, like yesterday on 10, I laid back off the tee because I didn't like where the pin was located, and so I laid back and wedged it close and made the putt. But the day before, I tried to hit driver, hit it in the trees, chipped out, made bogey, and made a mess of it. So there's a lot of risk-reward out there, and I think that's, as well as being some tough par fours. You know, 7's tough, 8 is tough, 9 can be challenging as well. So there are some, you know, 17 is an interesting one as well. So there's a lot of tough par fours, but there's a good mix of drivable par fours and par fours you have wedges in your hand to score.
Yeah, got it.
There's a lot of variables out there with, like 15 is really tough par 4, 17 can be a really tough par 4, 18 can be tough as well. So those holes coming in into the wind can be really, really difficult. 13 is a challenging hole too. So you got a lot of really tough par 4s mixed in with some sort of quote unquote easy par 4s. So you got to play the easy ones really well, and then you got to just sort of hold on for dear life on the hard ones, you know.
And know those pins.
And just leave yourself, you know, hit it to the fairway and then leave yourself an uphill putt. You know, on 8, if you have any kind of a downhill putt, you know, I heard of a 16-year-old who was 1 under par for his round yesterday, came to number 8, hit it on the green and 2 on the back edge, and 6 putted. So, I mean, like, that is realistic out here, so especially on that green with that pin.
What's the stimp, just so people have an idea? What do you think it's rolling at?
I would guess they're 11.5 to 12.
Wow.
But if you get it down grain, downwind, downhill, they're more like 18 or
right.
something.
Right.
I mean, it's just like flying. You can't even measure it. Yeah.
Right. Tap it and it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, like 8, if you did it on the back of 8 going forward, I don't think you'd keep it on. It would be like 40. I mean, it would roll off the front of the green. If you did a normal stimp and you just got it going, it would roll off the green. And that green's probably 30 paces deep. So what is that? I guess.
Well,
80 feet, 90 feet, something like that.
It's amazing. Yeah,
I mean,
it would be gone.
It would be off the front edge. So
gone.
This golf course is great. I mean, I love coming back here. The golf course draws me in every time because it's such a test, and you really have to manage your game. You have to think your way around this place. You have to strategize where you're going, and you can't just bomb and gouge out here. You have to place it, and you have to figure out where you want to hit. And you got to be strategic and surgical about how you're going to attack the golf course. And I feel like it's such a good test. It's like a major championship feel, and it's not just a normal, hey, get out there. We're just going to see who the longest guy is this week.
No, that's so much about the PGA Tour now.
It is.
you know, my next question is, you're talking about Mid-Pacific Country Club and the allure it has for you. Is there a course on the tour schedule that's got that same kind of demand for thinking?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Hilton Head, they played it a couple weeks ago. Hilton Head is one, or last week. Hilton Head's one that comes to mind, because you don't hit driver every hole. You have to place your way around. You have to strategically find the right places to go to navigate around that golf course. And Mid-Pacific is the same way. There's not many of those golf courses left. You know, Pebble Beach is on the shorter side. That's going to be a U.S. Open this year. It's on the shorter side as far as lengthwise, but you have to be on the correct side of the hole. Like, Pebble Beach has so many greens that are very similar to these, where if you're on the incorrect side of the hole, you're three putting, you know, almost assuredly. Like, if you're left on 10, you know, there's so many greens on that golf course that are similar to this golf course, and I think that just speaks to the architecture, you know, back in the 20s.
Yes. And,
you know, it really is. I mean, this place is such a gem, and it's fun that Jason pushes the limit and goes to the edge of unplayable, and like, I feel like he's going to lose his greens. I don't want him to lose these greens.
He's sitting right next to you now. Just that.
Please don't lose the greens, buddy. I love how it's playing. I have zero complaints at all. This golf course is unbelievable, and the shape is unbelievable. But I just, please don't lose the greens. These things are awesome.
He's been talking about your golf course. You understand that, right?
I do. I'm here to defend myself.
No.
I'm not attacking. I am not attacking.
He's not attacking at all. He's actually a big, big
praising.
Fan. You're praising all the way. Yes.
No.
I got to ask you. I don't know. You probably have to get ready, but you posted something on Twitter just the other day, and I frankly like Twitter, because if you have a group of people that you just like to be around and see what they're doing. You posted one of your son.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, because you got an incredible number of people.
Yeah, so he's 5 years old, and we just go to the golf course and we hit some shots, and he was just in his slippers. He'd come from soccer practice, and he just wanted to go hit some balls, and so we did. And he's got this John Daly like swing, and he gets in unbelievable positions where he gets it all the way past parallel, and then he squats into it and he explodes up out of the ground. And I'm like, this is amazing. So I videoed it in slow-mo and from the down the line and then from face on. And I just posted it. I posted one of them from down the line. And he got like 30,000 views, and people loved it. And then I said, oh, I'll post the one from face on. And the face on one, you can see him squat and use the ground. And people are like, what is he doing in slippers? And I'm like, hey, he's learning how to use the ground even better. You know, there's no traction. So... but it was fun, and he's starting to love the game, and he got a pair of golf shoes for Easter, and he was like over the moon. And so we just went out to Hawaii Kai par 3, and me and my dad and my son Kai, and we all played together. And it was really cool to have three generations out there on a course that I grew up playing junior golf on as well. So
yes.
We played 9 holes, and he hit it on the first green. He hit it right on the green off the tee, and so he just thought it was normal. I'm like, no, that's really good.
Yes. Don't tell him it's not normal.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell him how hard this game is.
Just go for it, kid. That's funny, though. I really like that par 3. I want them to make it so that when you drive the cart downhill, you're not too terrified in places.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those places, too, where it's got some interesting green complexes, and I think if you could, you know, take Jason's talents,
yes,
put them out there on that golf course,
yes,
it would be spectacular.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's got bones of a great place, and you could go out, you could throw skins games out there every Saturday and get 50, 60 people putting in $20, and hole in one, you're making $1,000.
But see, now who designed that course?
I don't even know who designed the Hawaii Kai par 3, but I just think the par 3 course is just phenomenal.
Wasn't that Robert Trent Jones?
Did he really? I don't know.
It's one of the great architects.
He might have. He's done a lot over here.
Yeah, and he designed the par 3.
Yeah, but it doesn't get the love that it deserves on the as far as the maintenance side of it, which I understand. But I think you could really turn that place into something special.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like this place.
I mean,
it's fantastic.
I know.
Jason Amoy, welcome into the clubhouse officially.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. I loved. I love what you said. Are you going to leave, Parker? You got to go.
I got to go warm up.
You got to go warm up.
I got to mentally prepare myself for Jason's test.
Jess, what do you eat before your round?
I'm usually like a, you know, I mean, on tour it's like eggs, bacon, and breakfast potato kind of thing, fruit and stuff like that. This week I'm eating like sunflower butter, bananas, and like toast.
Oh, just really simple.
Simple.
What do you eat on the course? Do you eat?
I have a couple bars. Yeah, like Cliff Builder bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Because it's important to keep eating while you're playing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this place, you know, even though we're riding in carts, it's such a mental challenge that I feel like you burn more energy than you like
realize.
Yeah. So I found myself getting really hungry the last couple of days.
Right on.
Even though I'm riding in a cart, you know.
Yeah.
This guy next to me is challenging us mentally. That's not easy.
Putting you under the gun.
Yeah. I need to go do some meditative Zen breathing to get ready for today.
Look in the green. Look in the green.
Well, unfortunately, the greens aren't green anymore. No, they're starting to get brown.
That's right. Don't look
which I love. I think it's great. I just don't want them to lose his green.
This is Parker McLaughlin. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
It's
You're
awesome.
Welcome.
Have a great round.
Thank
May you,
you
hit the sweet spot every time.
Thank you.
Okay, we're sitting here now. We're going to close the show with Jason. Jason Amoy, when you saw that 61, tell us what your gut said.
Is he done yet?
It's almost like an affront, isn't it? Like, how did he do that?
It's amazing. I honestly wish I was out there watching it. I didn't have time to go and see him, but when I heard about what he was shooting, that was just phenomenal. I mean, you don't see that. You literally don't see
that. Is this a tournament record, Wes?
It's a new tournament record, yes. TJ Cool had the last record at 62, and Brent's record this week put him out by one stroke.
You know, it's just, I looked at the number and I went, that's, I don't remember ever being like any lower than that here. And Parker said, I didn't see a 61.
Yeah.
There were about 200 other people that probably didn't see a 61.
You cannot. Yeah, that's just off the charts. You cannot imagine the game on Thursday, the way the course was playing on Thursday, the game that you would have to put out there to write 61 on your card. That's crazy.
It's not thinking. I said, how did you do, what was your strike? Target. I just went target. And at the same time, when I talked to Parker, you know, he made it very clear that if you're off target just a little bit, you're going to be out and three putting if you're lucky to get back on the green.
A lot of things went right for that 61.
Exactly. I mean, he was very lucky to get the or not lucky, but he played really well with the 70. Following it up with a 70 was phenomenal as well. So what did you do for yesterday to make it so hard, so much so that the man who helps the tournament chairman, the assistant tournament chairman, came in here. Vince, thank you. Came in and said he made me miserable. I was in third place, and now I'm in 11th place, and it was so hard. I wish that Brent Grant hadn't shot 61, because Jason took it out on us. What did you do?
Well, as the tournament progresses, a lot of what we do still has more and more. It's kind of a cumulative effect, if you will, on the grass. And so the second day, the speeds got a little faster, the greens got a little firmer, and so consequently, the course played apparently a little tougher. I did see some better scores out there. So some people, I guess, kind of caught on and made some adjustments.
Yeah,
for the most part, the course played a step harder the next day.
Yeah, it did. You know, Parker shot a 67 after a 72.
Yeah.
So he got on.
He made a great adjustment.
Yeah. A great adjustment. And he really, really, really loves his course and loves what you do. Seth Rayner died before it was finished. But it's following his architectural desire and his designs, his view.
Yes.
And you're keeping it that way.
Yeah, you know, I can see it in the architecture. And that's what I love about this golf course is at these kind of moments, being able to bring that architecture out the way that it was intended to play out here at Mid Pack. Yeah, hard, firm, fast, over the ground, not necessarily up in the air.
Yes. Now, the weather we've had over this winter hasn't been really saturatingly wet, has it? Or is the windward side seeing more than I'm seeing in town?
Actually, we did have a quite wet period in the fall, and then we had a really wet February. I think there was only single-digit days that it did not rain in the month of February. So it was rather wet.
Okay, it was wet. But it prepared it for very good conditions?
Yeah, actually, yeah. We were able to weather a lot of it. We had our challenges, like I imagine everybody else, but we came out of winter looking pretty good. And
yeah.
The weather turned just in time for us.
Yeah, it got nice, hot, and sunny, and firm and fast.
Firm and fast.
It's beautiful. We have a young man who is in, and is it Ka'ena Kaula'a? Okay, Kaulia, let me get your mic on here. Kaulia, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So I don't know what position you're in because I have been just, you're a nice job. You're in the B flight. How long have you been playing?
2 years now.
2 years?
Yeah.
And you're already playing in the Mid-Pac Open.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Where are you playing?
B flight right now.
Where's school?
I go Command Man.
Command Man?
Yeah.
And you're playing on the golf team?
No, this year I took off from intermediate. I just played outside tournaments.
Okay. How did you start the game?
My dad was playing for a while, and he told me to try it, and I liked it from the beginning, so I've been playing it ever since.
How old were you when you started?
I was 12.
So, really, you've only been playing for 2 years?
Yes.
And you are now all of a sudden playing in B flight at the Mid-Pac Open.
Yes.
Is that unusual, Wes?
Not in this modern era, Daniel.
Not in this modern era. Yes. So what do you think? This is the superintendent of golf, Jason Amoy, and he's the one who sets everything up.
Oh, he's been doing a great job. It's really nice out there, but the greens are super fast out there. It's super hard, but it's nice out there.
So it's nice, but the greens are super fast and super hard. And the most important advice I've heard all morning long is be conservative.
Yeah.
Don't go past. Be careful. You got to stay on the right side of the green, okay? Okay. Otherwise, you'll end up, six putting.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's a real pleasure having you.
I have to close
the show. We end at 8:30. So thank you so much for coming up and being on the show with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wes Wailihua, thank you for being here. And Jason Amoy, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. It's
really cool. You don't know how many people talk about you all the time about the work you do. And Wes is over there. He's crying. You two guys work well together. You've done a really good job. Pin placement is everything. Thank you to our Detail Boulevard guys at Honolulu's Car Finish Experts, protecting your ride. Detail Boulevard on Baratania Street. They're on the left side. If you're going down, just that's the Makai side. Two doors from Keiamoku. Loaner cars. Yeah, you just drive in, drop your car, grab a loaner, and out you go, and your car's buffed out when you get there. Futura Stone's master craftsman turning whatever your project is into artwork. It can be a commercial project. They can make the concrete in your old warehouse look like a showroom, so you save some money. You can have a warehouse and a showroom and your office. They specialize in Brazilian quartzite flagstone, interlocking concrete pavers. Only the best, Futura Stone. Rainer Doors provide lasting security and safety for your home, your business. Rainer Doors. Rainer Doors, the overhead door, it's used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. 676-3667. Oahu Extraction, when it floods, water, yeah, but maybe even worse, like the sewer pipes break, or when the water's gone, the mud is left behind. Call Oahu Extraction 24/7. On-site in 90 minutes, the number is 330-6212, 330-6212. Aloha Power Equipment, Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom. Two locations, Honolulu and Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment and Creative Plumbing. It doesn't matter how large or small, a new build, a renovation, a repair. You want to redo the plumbing stack in your high-rise? You want the grease traps up to code? You got to call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. creative plumbing. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name's Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2019.